Welcome back, or welcome to, this month's Top Marketers Podcast. My name is Jordana Rothberg, and for April, I am so excited to welcome our guest, Carol Greenspan. Carol is the Director of Marketing and Operations with Railfield Partners and has been with the company since 2021. She has more than 20 years of marketing consulting services background and has previously held marketing management positions with consumer packaged good companies, as well as privately held firms. Carol, I am so happy to have you here with me today. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. So to get us started today, I would love to know a little bit more about your background and how you got to your current role.
I'd be delighted to. I started out my career in Chicago after graduating from one of the leading business schools in the area. I started out in consumer packaged goods because there is a proliferation of companies there at that time, and that was a star program at the business school I attended. So I started out my career at Quaker Oats, where I was exposed to a variety of products, pet foods, cereal, frozen foods, and then their crown jewel Gatorade. And from there, I moved to a smaller company in the health and beauty aid area called Helene Curtis, who eventually sold their company to Unilever, which you may be familiar with their Degree deodorant product. And from there, I sort of parlayed my background and experience into consulting services, mostly marketing, but also there was some general consulting. And then my career led me, and my marriage led me to this area where I raised my family and had to find other ways to be able to transfer my marketing skills in an area that is predominantly government, legal, contractor, and not so heavily in the product or services department that I had in Chicago. And that is how I contracted my services with the National Cancer Institute, which is one of the institutes of the NIH, and eventually how I got to Railfield Realty Partners, which is where I hang my hat today.
Wonderful. I love that little bit of background. Love how much experience you have with different products and company types.
Yeah, I find that there is quite a big value on being on both the customer and the agency side so that you can see how both work and what really drives the business. And you have an appreciation being on the customer side for what somebody in the service industry has to do to help your business. And of course, on the service side, you certainly understand the mechanism that drives the client side. So I really feel like that has helped me in my career.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure that those strategies sort of cross over a little bit too, once you understand them distinctly.
Definitely, definitely. You know, if you were to draw a Venn diagram of what holds them all together, it truly is communication. And that certainly is what I have been able to bring to the Railfield company. I don't know if you'd like me to dive in and tell you some of the things that I've done for them.
I would love for you to. I know that in past conversations, you and I have talked about how once you got to Railfield, there were some things that needed setting up before you could really jump into the strategy. Can you tell me a little bit about what that was like?
Sure. So Railfield started in 2013 with three ex-Fannie Mae investors on the multifamily side. That was their strength, their wheelhouse, and they banded together and started this company as an emerging manager and have definitely grown since then. But they're lean and they're mean, and you know, they certainly have, I don't know, 60 to 80 years of experience between the three of them. But what they didn't have was anybody sort of making their outfit look a little bit more professional. So I came in and did little baby steps like establishing an email signature to give them more of a professional look, to make their LinkedIn profiles more cohesive. I mean, just things that you would do when you were starting a business. They were certainly focused on getting investor funds and setting up those partnerships and liaisons with stakeholders. But their eye wasn't really on the other stuff that sort of made them look more polished. And I think that's one of the first things that I did when I came here. And now I have really kind of navigated their way to looking bigger perhaps than their number of employees suggest, because they have gotten so much visibility on their social media accounts and through select placement, through byline article opportunities or speaking engagements. In fact, one of the partners was just recently attending the late July, early February annual NMHC convention, and some of their peers came up to them and said, "You are all over the place."
Wow.
That is because they're engaging with material, whether it's in written or social media or podcasts, webinars. They're seeing the real field name and they're seeing these partners, and they're a little bit like a puffer fish where, you know, they're sort of appearing larger to the crowd than they normally would. And that's by design. You know, one of the keys of marketing is to be able to present yourself to your audience in a resonating way. And so one of the first things that I did when I got here was I really had to get them involved in activities and strategies that would increase their awareness among their target audience. So that could be lenders, investors, brokers, bankers. But then once that awareness was established, then you have to go deeper and you have to really reach in a more targeted way to get to your audience. And that is what I'm focused on now that I'm starting my third year here.
Absolutely. And I definitely want to jump into some of those more targeted strategies that you're focusing on right now. But first, little sidebar, just because I'm curious. Going back to some of your work before a real estate company, what would you say the differences were working with a consumer packaged goods company or, you know, your previous consulting jobs versus working with a real estate company?
You know, on the surface, everything, because it's certainly a different area of business. But at the end of the day, most businesses are very similar. They either have a product or a service. In this case, we have multifamily investments that we're sort of packaging, just like a product would be packaged. But then how do you reach your consumer? That is all back to what I was talking about communication. So I guess a more direct way to answer your question is there are more similarities than there are differences. But of course, every industry has its own nuances. And I didn't have a real estate background. So there certainly was a learning curve in terms of understanding multifamily and then also understanding the investment side of it. And then also Real Field has the asset management side of it. And I'm also very heavily involved in the operations. One of the partners also heads up the asset management side, and I'm sort of the second behind him. And so I'm very entrenched in the operations. And so I would have to say that, again, there are very many differences because it's a completely different industry. But at the end of the day, you have a product that you're selling and you're trying to reach your audience. And the keys to doing that are how you communicate and to whom you communicate. And then every business has stakeholders. So in a packaged goods company, it might be, you know, the end user or the distribution channel for pushing out your product, such as a grocery store, a convenience store. Here, our stakeholders might be our banking relationships, our insurance companies, our investors, our brokers, the media. So it's different, but it's also very much the same. How you would go about marketing a company is very much the same, but the avenues will be different.
And I guess let's get into those avenues, which gets into some of the primary strategies of what you deploy now at Real Field. Can you tell me more about that? I know we've sort of been touching the subject a little bit, but let's just dive in the deep end here.
Sure. This is a very dynamic business. Our partners are constantly looking at ways to maximize the investor's portfolio and, of course, their returns. We have acquisitions and we also have sales of property. And so we would want to ring the bell every time one of those happens. So you would be doing press releases. You would reach out to the media and try to get some attention on that. One of the biggest engagements on LinkedIn in this business is every time you sell or buy a property, you have many, many people engaging with that particular profile, especially given the environment of 2023 now seeping into 2024. where interest rates were increasing, insurance rates were escalating, and the multifamily community was slowing down. Transactions were fewer. So anytime you would post something on social media about movement in the multifamily world, obviously people were interested. How did you do that? How did you finance it? How did you put that deal together? Because it's very tricky and challenging today. So that is one way that we create newsworthy opportunities is through that activity. But also we manage our assets and hold on to them for our investors for a duration of time until, you know, maybe it's time to sell them. And if we're doing something that's newsworthy, we will also want to get some coverage in the community about that. So for example, one of our affordable properties is having connected Wi-Fi, and we're helping the properties do a little bit of awareness around that. You know, there's a challenge right now of parking and EV chargers. There is an explosion of property technology out there. And so anytime that we do something that might be interesting or unique, in the multifamily world, we want to be able to communicate that and be a little bit of a cheerleader about some of the cutting edge opportunities that we're taking advantage of. I know that property technology is a hot area right now, but there's also been, maybe it's sort of flattening out right now, but there isn't a day that goes by where the properties and our corporate headquarters are not besieged with appeals from artificial intelligence, property technology, software applications, and how do you sift through all of that? And there are some that are quite good that address problems that are pain points for property owners, such as people who default, you know, on paying their rents, or there's safety concerns, and how do you promote safety on the properties, and or parking challenges. So all of these things, we're trying to engage in things that make our properties better and stronger. And so we have some neat partnerships that are going on. And when those deals sort of coalesce, then again, we'll look at ways to communicate that to the appropriate audiences in the outside world about what we're up to here at Realfield.
And earlier you mentioned not only marketing what's happening at the company, but you were talking about the partners at Railfield and how important they are to, I guess, the overall brand of the company. How do you go about marketing your team as well as what your team is doing?
Absolutely. So one of the partners, Ken Bacon, was an executive vice president when he left Fannie Mae, and he headed up the multifamily business. And a lot of people are aware of who he is. He's also on many public and private boards. And so people are very eager to learn from his experience in this industry, especially since he's been it for multiple decades. He's seen all the cyclical activity. And we try to put him front and center when there are major talking points that have to be addressed, whether it's about affordable housing or the interest rates. We try to keep him sort of a little bit above the everyday. And then we have John Siegel and Todd Watkins. John Siegel is our chief investment officer, and he is primarily focused on the acquisition and sale of properties. And Todd Watkins is the chief operating officer, and he heads up the asset management side. So each of the three partners comes with their strengths and their specific roles and responsibilities within the firm. And so if opportunities come up that play to one of their strengths, then of course that partner is the one that we are going to approach to be the keynote speaker on that particular topic, or the author of a byline opportunity, or interviewing. I know that since I've been doing this for a while now, once you establish these media relationships, there have been journalists that have kept their names around. And whenever there is something that is noteworthy or newsworthy, they'll know to contact John for a soundbite, or Todd, would he be interested in this opportunity? And that's really very rewarding for me to see that these relationships have been cultivated. People now appreciate what each of these three partners do. And without us having to do a lot of pitching, they're now coming to us, which is very rewarding.
A lot of what you're talking about is definitely marketing these executives, marketing your team. but ensuring that you're doing so at a timely manner when things are important to the news and important to journalists. How do you be sure that your strategies are timely?
Well, we don't flood, for example, the LinkedIn profiles or the news outlets on a daily or weekly basis. We pick and choose because you want to be able to break through the clutter. When you're flipping through LinkedIn, for example, there are some people that will share an article or repost a comment, and there isn't a lot of unique content that that person is contributing to the airwaves. And we make sure that whenever we put something out there is because John or Todd or Ken are adding value and they have something to say. You don't want to be in a rut. You don't want to be thought of as somebody who's diluting the message. You want to be thought of as a thought leader. And I think that we do a very good job of that in not blurring those lines for each of them.
Mm-hmm. It's about remaining authentic to who they are and where they can bring knowledge.
Yeah, of course. Yes, I think that's a perfect way of distilling it. I'm sure all of us have been in a classroom, for example, where there's always one person in the class who's talking too much or always raising their hand or always has the answers. And, you know, and then there are other people who barely say a peep. But then you have a few people who are very conscientious about when they contribute. And when they do say something, you listen to them because they've created some credibility and they start to get a reputation. And that's how I feel that we have packaged the three partners in that same manner, that when they speak, it's only because they have something valuable to contribute or offer. And people want to listen to them because they're very smart and they know what they're doing. There, I don't know how many people have really been around in the multifamily world as long as they have. They do find that because multifamily has been the darling of the real estate investment community for so long, with sort of being insulated from a lot of the cyclical factors out there in the environment, except for this most recent downturn with the interest rates and insurance, that's really affected multifamily greatly. But because it's been such a darling investment vehicle, you've got a lot of people in there who are new and don't really have the bench strength that these guys have. And I think the beauty of these three partners is because they've been around for decades and because they've seen all the different cycles and because they have tentacles in their community, they're able to be very creative on how they structure deals. They're conservative, but they're also entrepreneurial because of the size that we are. And I think just the mixture of that deep bench strength and that entrepreneurial spirit have been solid foundations for building a very successful company.
Going back to your role a little bit as a top marketer, I know that sometimes marketing isn't the top priority or perhaps the top of mind. So with Railfield, like you said earlier, when you first joined the firm, obviously these three partners have incredible knowledge and experience that you're talking about, but weren't very good at getting their names out. So how have you gone in to sort of work and alter that mindset within the Railfield company?
Well, I really have to give a shout out to our public relations firm, Pew & Tiller, here in Maryland. They're very phenomenal at what they do, but they're also a lean, mean fighting machine like Railfield, and they they get things done. And so you've gone to the top with them, and they have been in the business a very long time. And I feel like the combination of the strength of the partners at Railfield and what they bring to the party and the driving force of our public relations firm. And with me here in the middle in marketing, you know, coordinating everything at the headquarters, I think we've just made a very effective team together for putting Railfield really on the map. I think people knew about them before I arrived on the scene, of course, but we've really turned up the energy on communicating that to their audience. And I feel like it's paying back in dividends now.
100%. And now that Railfield is absolutely on the map and people know and love the brand, last question for you. What is an upcoming marketing campaign or project, something you're working on that has you excited?
Well, I envision going forward that there might be something organically created by the partners that they would be able to package and go to the marketplace with, as opposed to always trying to become a part of something that is already out there. I'm looking for activity that they're driving as opposed to hopping on to somebody else's activity. So I don't know what that will look like ultimately, but I think that they're well positioned to go that next step, given all the hard work we have done over the last few years. I don't know if that's too cryptic or not, but that's sort of what I have in mind, is that they've got a lot to say. And I think that they can do it on their terms now. So we'll see what that looks like.
Whatever it is, whether it be cryptic or not, I'm excited to see what transpires.
Thank you. Me too. Stay tuned.
Will do. Well, thank you so much, Carol, for coming on Top Marketers today. I absolutely love having you, learning about you and learning a little bit about Railfield.
Thank you very much for inviting me on today. Appreciate it.
Of course. And to all of our listeners, before I let you go, be sure to follow MHN on all of our social medias. Further, the MHN Executive Council would love to invite you to join. Please contact jessica.fiur@cpe-mhn.com. Be sure to tune in to Top Marketers next month. We'll be right back.